so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in five different locations, and our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about our church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
You might have been expecting Darius, tall, dark, and handsome, but how about, you know, two out of three ain't bad, you know what I'm saying? I'll let you figure out which two of the three. Dark and handsome, huh? So good to see you. Thank you. Don't you love spiritual renewal? It's not Sunday morning where the time constraints, though I am watching the clock because I want us to get to an opportunity tonight to pray. I want us to pray for people. I want you to have the opportunity for us to touch, connect. There's something about the touch and to pray. So I want you to be prepared for that, because at the end we are going to pray, and then I'll dismiss us after you have the opportunity to be prayed for. We'll bring the team back up, do a little worship. So hopefully I'm only going to speak about 25 minutes. I'm going to tone it down just a hair, and Vic's going to stay with me the whole time. I forgot to communicate that, but I just did. See what I did there? And I want to just tell you just a little bit of my story. I do this. When my kids were little, Heidi and I would always tell our story, and they already know our testimony, but we'd do it every Christmas just to remind them. I did not get born again. I didn't raise my hand in a church like this until I was probably almost my senior year in high school. I was that rebellious teenager that I didn't want anything to do with God, nothing. There was a blonde-haired girl from my school who happened to be quite attractive, who invited me to come to church. And it just so happened to be the same church that my parents were attending. Now, I later figured out my mother probably had something to do with that. How many of you know mamas who can work things out? Mamas can be evil. They can work it out. And I can remember giving my heart. I was sitting probably next to her, about eight rows back, probably where some of you guys are, right in here, Burgess somewhere in there, you know, sitting there. And I was on the end, and the pastor did kind of like I do at the very end. If you're here today, I was so convicted by God that I was not living a righteous life and that I was going to hell. If I died, and I could have died, there were those nights that you didn't know how you... There were those nights I woke up the next morning and pulled the curtain back to make sure my car was parked in the driveway because I couldn't remember how I got home. How many feel me a little bit? You ever been that? You just went, "Ooh, what did we do last night?" And I was so convicted. And I gave my heart to the Lord. It was as if 1,000 pounds lifted off of me in one moment. It was just like, I was born again. It was like a redo. I got to do it over. And my pastor, not too long after that, the pastor of that church, a little small church, the pastor of that church called me in his office one Sunday after church. "I need to talk to you." Okay, you're just a kid, right? You're just a high school student. The pastor wants to see you in his office. And I'm thinking, what did I do? Did I kiss a girl? What did I do? I did something. I must have done something. And he calls me and he goes, "What are you doing with your life?" I said, "I don't know. I mean, gave my heart to the Lord. Everything's new. Everything's brand new." He goes, "You need to go to Bible college." "Okay. If you think I need to go to Bible college, I'll go." And I went to Bible college. I went to Southwestern Assemblies of God University, and I went there, and it's a place where they train young people to become ministers and Christian school teachers and go into the ministry. And I'm wondering, why in the world am I even here? I have no idea. I met Heidi there. Heidi was there. She was one of the first people that I met. I met her in the lunch line. She had a big belt on. And see, when you're saved, like you're newly saved, how many of you know you still have some of those old patterns? You still think some of the old ways, even though you're brand new, you still got to get. And I'll talk about that on Sunday, breaking some of those patterns. I still had to break some patterns, and I'm thinking, who's this tall, good-looking woman right here? I said, "Hey, girl." And I said, "What you getting for lunch, you know?" And she's like, "Oh, hello, how, you know, how are you? Hi." You know, and she had this big belt on. It was, I guess, popular.
It was the 80s.
She had this big belt on. I was like, "Man, What world championship did you win? You're like world champ, girl. She's like, who is this guy? I made quite an impression on her the very first time. I don't even know why I'm there. And I can remember one time they had kind of like a spiritual renewal, something like this. And they started talking about this person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And they said, would you like to receive the Holy Spirit? Because he'll bring something to you. He brings something to the table. And I'm going to walk you through it in just a second, just kind of line, line, precept, precept. And man, I just went, man, yeah, man. If there's something that God wants for me to have, I want it. I want you to think about that. If there is something that God wants you to have, you should want it. Let me say it again. If there is something that God wants to give you, you should want what God wants to give you. You should want it. You go, I know there's an intellect that you got to deal with too, because some of it doesn't make sense to you. And I can remember going up and praying and people praying for me. And we're going to pray tonight and you're going to come up and people are going to pray for you. And you go, man, Lord, thank you. I received that in Jesus' name. And I remember just how that felt, what that was like. And that there was no manifestation or anything on me. I didn't do anything that night. But I'm going to tell you the end of that story after I just kind of walk you through the scripture a little bit, if I could do that. Here's what I want you to remember, though. Don't let what's not happened to you yet determine what your theology is. Let me say that again. Don't let that you haven't ever experienced with God determine what you believe about God. Because we have a book, right? And whether we've experienced it all, and I can just say to you, I haven't experienced everything God has for me. I don't believe. And so I don't ever want you to do that. I'll give you an illustration. And I think probably Pastor Jim is the best illustration. How many of you have ever been in a meeting with Pastor Jim LaFoon when he's here? And he prophesies over people. How many of you, that kind of trip, it was kind of trippy the first time you ever. So you're like, what? So we had the first time Pastor Jim ever came to Opelousas, I was so excited, but you kind of get nervous too because you're not sure if people have never experienced anything like that. You think they're going to freak out, right? That's what pastors think. I don't know if y'all think that, but that's what pastors think. You think people are going to freak out. Well, man, there was a couple in our church who heard that Pastor Jim was coming. They had heard about him and he started emailing me. I do not believe in prophecy. I do not believe in prophets. I believe it is already done away with. That was for the New Testament early days. That's not for today. And then we went back and forth, kind of this banter. And I would say, I do, but that's not true. And, da, 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 da. And we're going back and forth. He goes, well, I don't care. That's just my beliefs. Right? So he allowed something that he had never experienced to determine what he believed. So Pastor Jim comes that Sunday and we're out there and he goes, bring some people up, choose some people to pray for. And I said, well, Pastor Jim, I mean, what if I choose the wrong person? He goes, you're not going to choose the wrong person. Whoever you choose will be the right person. I know, but what if I accidentally pick out somebody to come up and it's not the person that I'm supposed to pick out? He said, no, don't worry about that. Whoever you choose will be the right person. The Lord will give me a word for that person, for whoever you choose. And I'm looking around the room, and I see that couple who do not believe. And then I started smiling, going, this is going to be good. And they're looking, and our eyes connect, and you see them kind of going, don't you do it. Don't you do it. And I'm up there going, yes, I am. And I picked them. And you could just see them getting out of their chair. And they walk up, and Pastor Jim, prophesies over them. I don't even know some of the things he's saying. You know, sometimes you know about where somebody's at in their life, and you know if it's true, you know if it's real. And I'm just going, oh, dear God, please be right, please be right, please be right, please be right, please. After service, I went out. He's sitting in the foyer, and his face, he's a white guy, but his face was pale white, like translucent, like I could see all the veins inside of his head. He's just like, and he looks at me, and I said, how was that? And he goes, what was that? I said, prophecy. What did you, there's no way he could have known all that. God knows everything about you. He knows the number of hairs that are on your head. He knows every time one falls out and he changes the count. He knows your future. He knows everything, and he still loves you. Don't ever let what you have or have not experienced determine what you're going to believe about God. There is nothing impossible for him. There's nothing too difficult for him. You can't put him in some little box and say, this is who God really is. He's much bigger than you could ever think or imagine. Amen? So, watch this. I want you to know, I want to just show you the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit actually existed in the Old Testament. He actually existed. But in the Old Testament, he would actually come on to somebody for a particular reason or a particular purpose. Let me show you what would happen when he would come upon someone and give them supernatural power to do something. Let me give you some examples. Let me take you to 1 Samuel chapter 10:10. I'll read it. They'll put it on the board for you. When they came to Gibeah, behold, a group of prophets and the Spirit of God rushed upon him, Saul, and he what? And he prophesied. The Spirit of God rushed upon him. So it was just periodic, just for a moment. I'll show you another one in the book of Exodus, chapter 31, verses 2 through 5. This is when Moses is building the tabernacle for God. It says, see, I have called by name Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God. And then it says, with ability, intelligence, with knowledge, and all craftsmanship to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood to work in every craft. How many of you have ever felt like you just didn't have the intelligence or the sparks to accomplish something? And that you see the Holy Spirit would come upon people in Old Testament at periodic times to give them supernatural power to accomplish something that God wanted them to accomplish. And so I want you to see that. But then we're going to move into a prophecy of the Old Testament that's going to be found in the book of Joel. It's chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. So was the Holy Spirit continually on somebody in the Old Testament? Answer, no. He came upon them periodically. But watch what Joel prophesies. And it shall come to pass afterward that I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh. I want you to say that with me. What flesh? All flesh. Rich flesh? Poor flesh? Brown flesh? Red flesh? Yellow flesh? White flesh? Black flesh? He's going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. Now look what he says. Your sons and your daughters, male and female, shall what? Shall prophesy. Old men are going to do what? They're going to dream some dreams. And young men are going to see visions. Even on male and female servants, in those days I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh. So there's a prophecy in the Old Testament that things are going to change in the future. Now I want to fast forward you to the future. It's going to be found in the book of Acts. And this is what it reads. We read in the book of Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in what? One place. Everybody say one place. Yeah, because we're all gathered tonight in one place. Does anybody remember how many were gathered in one place? Anybody remember the number? 120. 120 had all gathered in one place. Jesus had way more followers than 120. But how many know not everybody comes to spiritual renewal? Are you with me? Not everybody's got the same hunger at the same time. 120 were in that upper room, all in one place. And then it says, and suddenly there came from heaven, a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire. Remember what we said last night? You build the sacrifice, and God will provide the what? God provides the fire. And so he comes in fire, and he appeared to them, and he rested on each one of them. And they were all what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. These are believers. They're believing and trusting in Jesus. They believe who God is. I'm going to call them saved. They're going to heaven. Jesus didn't just come to save you. He came to capture your heart and then to put you on mission, and because there is a purpose for the reason why you are even here. And so he said, I'm going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And then it says, and they began to speak in what? In other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Let's look at what that tongues was. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem devout men from every nation under heaven. And at the sound of the multitude came together, they were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are these not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each one of them in our own tongue? We just came from Jerusalem. I can tell you, it's still like that. There are people there that speak multilingual because everybody goes back to Jerusalem because they're Jews. But they're from different nations, and they speak different languages. And now they hear these 120 Galileans speaking in all kinds of different languages. And it's look verse 9. List them. I won't list them all. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappuccino, Pontus, Asia. Well, you're just glad you're not me having to read this, aren't you? Verse 11, Jews, proselytes, Cretans, Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty work of God. And they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, they're filled with new wine. Peter stands up, standing with the 11, the 12 disciples, lifted up his voice and he addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since this is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered by the prophet Joel. In the last days, right? In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh, sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men are going to see visions. Your old men are going to dream dreams. Even on male servants and female servants in those days, I'm going to pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy. Let me just give you just a couple of quick thoughts about this. Those who received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, they were believers who are already born again by the Spirit. If you're in this room, how many are in this room and you're born again? You don't have to raise your hand at the end when I ask, because you already know, I gave my heart to the Lord. You know your spiritual birth date, when you were born again. Let me give you the second thought. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit resulted in not only some audible miracles, people were hearing things, but it was also visible. They were seeing something different in them. What did they think? They were what? They was drunk. They was drinking. How many of you have ever been drinking before? Raise your hand. You're in church. You lie. You fry. I'll stop right there. I won't even go any further. Here's what we can read in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, we read, they were filled with spirit, spoke in tongues. Believers were filled with spirit, spoke with boldness. Remember, Peter, who would stand up and say, they're not drunk as you suppose. He's going to go on to preach a message. And he's going to say, do you know who put the Christ on the cross? You did. Repent. I want you just to go back about 40 days when they had Jesus there going, aren't you one of the disciples that's with Jesus? And some little girl comes up to him. A little girl. And said, aren't you one of them? And he's going, I am not one of them. I don't know what you're saying. Remember, he denied him not once, not twice, but thrice. Three different times because he was too afraid. Dr. Darius said it last night, didn't he? What separates us is the word courage. And it's not even something that you have to build up yourself. It's the Holy Spirit will give you boldness and courage that you would never have before. You ought to give him praise for that. It's the Holy Spirit. We also see in the book of Acts, even Simon the sorcerer, he saw it. He was visibly seeing something in them that he wanted, was even willing to pay for it. Y'all remember they rebuked Simon, but he saw the boldness because he saw them laying on of hands. Everybody say laying on hands. You ever seen that? It's where, does Pastor Eugene believe that there can be an impartation from someone who prays for you and lays their hands on you? The answer is, I do, because I see it in Scripture. Remember, don't let what hasn't happened to you determine your theology. So you see it in the Word, they laid hands on, but laying on of hands was even more important than that. And I think we see it in our own neighborhood. We see it in our own community. Remember, Jews wouldn't even speak to a Gentile. It was against their law to touch someone who was not like them. So when these guys started going to pray for that, they would go to the Gentiles and say, have you believed in Christ? They said, we have. And then they'd say, have you received the Holy Spirit? And they go, no. And they go, good. Let us lay hands on you. Not even, they were crossing the line just to speak to a Gentile. Now they were going to touch a Gentile, which the Old Testament said was unclean. That's why I love what's happening in our community. We should not only speak to one another, we should touch one another. How you doing? I know white people shake hands like this, black people shake hands like this. I got to do it both ways. What's up? You got to learn both ways because we got to touch. Are y'all with me? How many? Look, let's learn both ways so we can touch. We need to touch. I love you. You're mine. How you doing? Good to see you. Hey, bro, what's up? We just said the same thing. We're learning language together so we can communicate. We're speaking in tongues. Are y'all with me? Touch. To touch. The Lord wants to touch you. You heard last night, Dr. D, a great word. That was a Holy Ghost setup last night. The Lord just tripped us up. We're that touch. If I could just touch the hem that's touching him. You know, maybe sometimes you just need to be touched by someone who's touching him. And that can take away the battle that's in your mind, the healing that you're needing in your body. It's the Holy Spirit. He is a person, the Holy Spirit. Are y'all tracking with me so far? Okay, all right. Just want to make sure we're good. In Acts 10, the Spirit was poured out on Gentiles. They were speaking in tongues and exalting. Paul laid hands on the disciples. They began speaking in tongues, prophesying. Paul began to command the Ephesians to be filled with the Holy Spirit in the book of Ephesians. And then I want to take you to 1 Corinthians 12, because I don't want you to get locked in on one thing. I want you to show you the Spirit, this Holy Spirit. Right? Watch right here. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, But in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. And then he's going to list those gifts of the Spirit. Now, to each one of the manifestations, everybody say manifestations. So there is a manifest. You see it. He said, it's given for the common good. God gives it to us through his Holy Spirit. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. You ever been in a situation where you just needed wisdom? I don't know what to do. And something just downloads and you go, wow. That the Lord was saying, I'll give you wisdom. Did you know James would go out and say, look, if any man lacks wisdom, ask the Lord for wisdom because he can give it to you. His Spirit can give it to you generously. Wisdom. Here's another manifestation. A message of knowledge that you know. You just know. How do you know? I don't know. I just know. The Holy Spirit dropped it in my spirit that I just know. It's happened to Heidi and I just this past couple of weeks. We've known for a long time. And we're just seeing the manifestation of it now. We already know that. We knew that. We knew it. How did you know? How did we know? How did we know? The Holy Spirit gave us the word of knowledge. How about this? To another, faith. When you just know, you go, I just got faith for it. To another, the gift of healing. To touch bodies. I think it was maybe last year, we saw some healings take place in the time that we prayed for one another. Actual healings in bodies. Who did that? The Holy Spirit. Some people say, I don't believe in healing anymore. I'm sorry. Poor you. Don't let what hasn't happened to you determine what you believe about God. You can't box him in. He is who he is. I am. I am Jehovah Rapha, your healer. I am what you need. I am what you need me. I am. I'm Shalom, your peace. What you need, I am. I can be all those things to you. I am what you need. Are you with me? Miracles, prophecy, list on. To another, distinguishing or discerning of spirits, speaking different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. All these are one work of the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So, how should we view these gifts as a congregation? Not are you saved, you're going to heaven. That's settled. But you're going to need these gifts to be overcomers of obstacles in your life, because you're going to face them. The enemy's going to lay traps for you. He's going to try to get you off track, and you're going to go, man, I need some power. Everybody say power. You're going to need some power to navigate this call that's on your life, this purpose and passion to bring glory and honor to him. You're going to need an extra dose of the Holy Ghost to walk and navigate this life. How should we view these gifts? Let me give you the answer to that. I really believe it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 1. Look what it says. Pursue love. Pursue love. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may what? That you may prophesy, that you may speak. I believe the Lord's laid this on my heart for you, that you should want to, that you should earnestly seek them. Look at me right here. Everything from God is good. You don't have to be afraid of it. It doesn't have to be weird, and it doesn't have to be scary. You go, Lord, if you got something for me, I want it. I'm asking for it. Would you please give it to me? In Jesus, amen. You go, I want it. I just want it. Watch this. How do we get more from God? I love, great question. I'll answer it. The scripture will answer it. If you then, Luke 11, if you then who are evil, speaking of us, know how to give good gifts to your children. Do you give good stuff to your kids? You do. You ever given them something they did not deserve for Christmas? Yeah, I want it for Christmas. You don't deserve nothing for Christmas, you little. And how many of you went down to the store anyway or got Santa to bring it? I know we got some kids in here. Santa brought it to them anyway, right? He says, look, if that's how you are with your kids, how much more will the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask? I want to challenge you tonight to ask. God, I don't understand it all. But I don't have to understand it all. Because I trust you. And you only do good for me. And you only can do good for me. That's your only heart towards me. So I'm asking. Give it to me. Bring it on, God. You got something for me? I want it. I'll figure out the theology later. I don't have to have the theology before. I'll figure it out later. Are you with me? And so you ask. You just got to ask. You got to just, Lord, I'm just asking. I'm asking for it. Would you give it to me? How many of you remember the old movie? Dr. Scott gave me this one. How many remember that old movie? It's a classic. Back to the Future. You don't remember that? Back to the Future. You remember where they got to get the DeLorean, Doc? He's got to get it back, and he's got to have so much. How many of y'all remember that movie right there? You're old if you remember that movie. How many of you saw it at the movie theater? You're really old if you saw it at the movie theater. Remember, Doc says, we need 1.21 gigawatts. Where are we going to get that kind of power? Where are we going to get that kind of power? That's what we need. The only way we're going to overcome is if we get more power. That's the only way we overcome is if we get the power. Where are you going to get the power to break the patterns of your life? Where are you going to get the power? Some of you, single mamas, listen to me. Where are you going to get the power to say no to the player? Because you don't believe God's going to bring somebody else that's going to be a man of God who's going to treat you like the person you deserve to be treated. Where are you going to get that power? You're going to have some power to overcome. Where are you going to get the faith that you're going to need? Hey, y'all know what? We're going to build 12.3, but we're going to need some power because we got more vision than we have money. We're going to need more power. We're going to need power. Where are we going to tear down the strongholds of our community of pride, prejudice, and poverty? We're going to need some power. I don't have that power. I'm going to need some supernatural power living inside that we can stand up with boldness and confidence and call things that aren't as they are. Are y'all hearing me this morning? You're going to need the power of the Holy Spirit. So tonight, I want you to ask. I want you to ask tonight to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. God, would you fill me? I told you I'd finish that story, didn't I? I remember. I was by myself. And I saw something. I saw something in Heidi, that cute, tall girl from Graham, Texas, with the big world championship belt on. It was big. I was like, man, I don't understand it, but they have something I want. I didn't know the theology of it. I just saw the power in it. I saw the manifestation in it. I saw they live a life that I don't know how they do what they do. I can remember. I've shared with you publicly. I do. I pray in tongues. I do. Probably every day. I'm sure there's a day or two I miss. I do when I don't know what to pray. I just pray in the Spirit. I do pray. I just pray. Sometimes I'm praying for you. And I don't know exactly how to pray. The scripture says that the Holy Spirit will give you an utterance and you will utter things that you don't even know. You don't know with your mind, but God knows. He hears it. He hears the cry of your heart and cry over you. I know the Holy Spirit is a real deal. And then as you walk that out to go, I don't. Someone said, it's of the devil. Well, I used to hang out with the devil. I never heard him praying in tongues. You know who I'm talking about, right? How many of y'all ever used to hang out where the devil hung out? Listen, that's crazy. God has something for you. It's not, it's just the gifts that he has and he distributes them. It's just wanting more of God and his Holy Spirit. And however he distributes them is up to him. And I'm okay with it. I just want everything God has for me. And I'm going to ask. So, we're going to pray. Here's what I want to, we've got our prayer team is going to come. I want y'all to come real quick. You're going to come. They're going to stand right here. And then we're just going to turn this into a prayer meeting. Listen, it's just us home folks. We got the 120 in the upper room who love Jesus, love God, love our church. And we're going to have the opportunity to come and to pray. And we're going to ask them to lay hands on us, pray for us as we come. You may want to come up there and you go, I need healing in my body. Would you pray for me? And they're going to pray that the Holy Spirit would fill you and would touch you and give you what you need. But you need to ask. Come on, let's stand to our feet all over. Our prayer, our worship team's going to come back. We're going to continue our praise and worship. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to open up this altar time for you to make your way forward. Father, Holy Spirit, you do all things well. Lord, all we're asking for, we're asking that you would give us what we need to accomplish the mission that you've laid hold of us for. Father, corporately as a body and individually as a man or woman, as a maidservant or a manservant, as white or black, Father, rich or poor. Father, you promised us in these last days you would pour out your Spirit on all of us, and all we had to do was ask. So we're coming together tonight to ask that the Holy Spirit would come and fill us tonight. Father, thank you. Thank you, Father, for pouring out your Spirit on us tonight. Go ahead, begin to thank him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for pouring out your Spirit on us tonight. And so, Father, we're not going to miss this moment. We're going to make sure we jump into the pool, as Heidi said. We're going to make sure, as it's stirring, we're going to go ahead and jump in tonight, and we're going to ask, thank you for what you're going to do in advance. We give you all the praise and glory. This altar is now open. We're going to continue our praise and worship. You just slip out of your chair, come down. They're going to just pray with you, stand with you, and we're going to continue. I'll dismiss this right at the end. But we're going to take about, we've got about 15, 20 minutes, and we're going to take that time. So go ahead. You can start moving. If you want to worship a while, then come down. Let's ask God.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about our church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.